Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
Good morning. Great to be with you all this morning. So Danny asked me to preach, and he said it could be on anything I want, and I was like, sweet, okay. I'm usually the type of person that likes structure, and I kind of want an idea, but I'm like, okay, if it's a freebie. I was drawn to Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21, which this is Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church. Oh, yeah, that is my son. His first day at church. I was very excited for this day, but now he gets to hear my word from here. I was actually practicing it this morning while I was holding him, so he probably... Anyway, we can probably all agree that prayer is a very powerful thing. The Bible says that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So when we pray to God, it's not something where he just kind of looks down at us and he just ignores us, or it goes in one ear and out the other. He actually listens. He actually cares. He responds to us. You know, who's ever gone through maybe something difficult in life and you just decided to pray and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding comes upon you? Or maybe you're praying for a miracle, for God to move and do something, and God actually does and shows his faithfulness and his goodness. Prayer should not be something that is optional in our lives. It needs to be essential. Prayer is us connecting with the creator of the universe who wants to spend time with us. He is the God who listens. He is the God who cares. He is the God who responds. Prayer gives us peace when we feel anxious and strength when we feel weak. Prayer also helps us understand the love of God more deeply, not just in our minds, but in our hearts. In this passage, Paul prays that the Ephesians would believers would be strengthened through Christ and grow in their understanding of the love of God. This passage shows us that God does not simply want us to know about his love. He wants us to experience it. So let's read Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. As it says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now to him is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. I pray, God, that we would just have an understanding of your love. Not just a knowledge of it, but an experience of it, so that we would share it to others, Lord. Because this kind of love is powerful, and it changes us. We thank you, God, for all that you do, and I just pray that you would speak through me this morning, and that you'd prepare our hearts for what you want to say to us, Lord. In your holy name we pray, amen. So God wants us to experience his love more fully, so that it changes us from the inside out. So what is the cause that Paul is praying this prayer to the Ephesian church? See, in this passage, Paul paints a picture of what the church should look like and what kind of God's desire for his people to become. The world Paul lived in was filled with division and chaos, where there was nation against nation, person against person, Jews against Gentiles. There was even inner conflict within the people of believers themselves. And much like this, we see this in the world today, where there is brokenness everywhere. We see wars, we see hostility between people, we see a huge epidemic of anxiety, loneliness, depression, and people struggling deep within themselves. People are trying to search for peace and purpose in all the wrong places. And yet, many continue to feel empty and divided. But Paul shows us that God's plan is to bring people together and not tear them apart. It is God's design that all these broken and divided things will be united in Christ Jesus. Jesus did not only come to forgive sins, he came to reconcile us to God, for all of us to be part of the family. Christ breaks down the walls of hostility and creates new ones in family in him. This is why the church is so important. That the church is meant to be a picture of God's reconciling love towards the world. The church should be a place where people experience grace, unity, forgiveness, truth, and love. And this can only happen as the church carries the message of Christ and the love of Christ to the world. This is why Paul prays for the church. Paul understands that human effort cannot produce this kind of transformation. Right programs can't change people's hearts. Rules don't transform people. It is the Holy Spirit, the work of God in someone, that transforms the inner life. Paul's desire is that believers would understand how vast and life-changing the love of Christ is. He wants them not to only know about God's love, he wants them to experience it as well. When believers are transformed by Christ's love, they begin to reflect the same kind of love that was shown to them. So Paul begins by saying, for this reason. This connects back to the thought in verse 1 of chapter 3, before kind of pausing to explain the mercy of the mystery of the gospel. And the mystery of the gospel is the reconciliation of Christ through Jews, and how Jews and Gentiles are now united under one family, and under how they're united under God. And there was hostility and separation, prejudice and barriers between them. But through the cross, Jesus broke down those walls and brought and peace. And that salvation through Christ is now offered to all people, regardless of background, nationality, or even status. So when Paul considers God's great plan of redemption, he responds in humble worship and prayer. Paul actually bows before the Father in heaven, and this shows reverence and awe. His posture reflects humility and absolute dependence on God. Standing, kneeling, or sitting is not what matters most in prayer. It's not the method that we use. What actually matters most in prayer is our heart posture. Prayer is about humbly coming before God and recognizing our need for Him. Prayer reminds us that we are dependent on God's strength, not our own. Because there is division happening in the world and even within people themselves, Paul prays for unity. He reminds the church that God is the Father for whom every family derives its names. So through Christ, people from every background can be part of God's family. The gospel tears down barriers and unites believers together under one Father. See, the main focus of Paul's prayer is clear. He wants believers to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit so that they may know Christ deeply. Paul prays that the Spirit work powerfully in the inner beings of the believer. And the inner being refers to the heart, and in this Jewish time, the heart was kind of the whole being. That's sort of what it represented. It was the controlling center of a person's life. So this is the place where thoughts flow from, where desires are formed, the place where decisions or choices are made. So Paul understands that the outward change actually begins with inward transformation. God does not simply want us to change our behaviors externally. He wants us to transform the heart internally. So God strengthens us inwardly through the Holy Spirit. This strengthening comes according to the riches of God's glory. God doesn't strengthen us out of limited resources, but out of the limitless riches of who he is. His glorious riches are overflowing abundance of his power, his grace, his love, his mercy, and his presence. God never runs out of strength, wisdom, or grace for his people. The Holy Spirit is how God actively works within the believers' lives today. This is where we receive strength, endurance, wisdom, conviction, and spiritual power. See, we cannot live the Christian life on our own strength. We need the Spirit of God daily. Paul says that Christ dwells in our hearts through faith. So to have Christ is to have the Spirit, and to have the Spirit means that you belong to Christ. But the thing is that Christ doesn't force his way on people. He's received through faith and surrender. Faith is not merely believing facts about Jesus. It's actually a deep-rooted trust in him and put our life towards him. Right? When Christ dwells in us, we become rooted and grounded in love. And Paul uses the imagery of roots and foundations, right? With a tree, when it's rooted, it's its nourishment and its stability. And a foundation, it gives the building the strength and support. So in the same way, Christ's love becomes the foundation and the source of a believer's life. As believers experience the love of Christ, they are transformed by it. Christ's love changes the way we think, we speak, live, and treat others around us. Love is both the source and the result of God's work in our own lives. So when we truly love God and others, it reveals the presence of Christ in us. In 1 John 4:8, we're told that God is love. That means love is not merely something that God does. It's actually a part of who he is. That to define love is God. God is the definition of love. And I think if we lack love in our own lives, then we don't comprehend the love of Christ. The more we experience Christ's love, the more we begin to reflect the love to others. And so Paul's prayer is not just about individuals, believers, it's about the whole church together. Christianity is not meant to be lived in isolation. Paul emphasizes all the Lord's holy people because believers are meant to experience Christ together in community. This is why the church and Christian fellowship are so important. We grow together. We encourage one another. We bear each other's burdens. We learn together with the love of Christ and what it looks like in our everyday life. Paul prays that believers would know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. The love of Christ is so wide, long, high, and deep that it cannot be fully measured or even comprehended at times. But Paul himself had been overwhelmed and transformed by this love. The width of Christ's love means that no one is beyond reach. The length of Christ's love means that his love never runs out. The depth of Christ's love is seen in how far Jesus came to save sinners through the cross. To know Christ's love is not merely intellectual knowledge. It changes us from the inside. As we experience Christ's love, we experience the fullness of God himself. Jesus says, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." We encounter the love of God through Christ Jesus. Knowledge rooted in love brings unity rather than division among God's people. Our culture often promotes self-centeredness and individualism, but the gospel calls believers in unity, humility, and love. The more we understand Christ's love, the more we are drawn together as the body of Christ. And so Paul closes with the prayer of doxology, which is an outburst of praise and worship to God. And after reflecting on the greatness of God's love, power, and work in believers, Paul cannot help it but to praise God himself. Paul says that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. God's power is beyond human limit or even expectations. Sometimes we pray small prayers because we think we have a very small view of God. But Paul reminds believers that God is far greater than what we can fully comprehend or expect. This doesn't mean that God gives us everything we want, but rather it means that God is able to accomplish his purposes far better than what we can dream of or even imagine. And Paul says that this power is already at work within us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells inside of us. God is not distant or inactive. He is actively transforming his people from the inside out. God's power is at work, strengthening believers, changing hearts, restoring broken lives, uniting his church, helping believers persevere through trials. Paul's focus is not merely on what God can do around us, but what God is already doing inside of us. God is continually shaping believers into the image of Christ. Even when we cannot see it, God is still working in our lives. Paul then declares, "To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." Everything Paul has written leads to the glory of God. The church exists to glorify God, reflecting Christ to the world. God receives glory through transformed lives when believers walk in unity, holiness, faithfulness, and always point to God. The church becomes a testimony of God's grace and power. Paul reminds believers that God's glory will continue throughout all generations. Kingdoms fall and rise, culture changes, but God's reign and glory is forever and ever. And so as we look at this prayer, we see that Paul's desire is not merely for believers to know information about God. Paul wants the believers to experience the transforming power of Christ in their daily lives. And throughout this passage, Paul shows us, I think, three important truths that we can look at in the Christian life. We're to be empowered by the Spirit, we're to be established in love, and we're existing for God's glory. And so the first point that I want to look at is we are to be empowered by the Spirit. The Christian life is not possible on our own strength. Paul's prayer is that believers would be strengthened in the power and in their inner being through the Holy Spirit. Who's ever tried to keep the God's commands? How well has it worked out for you? Probably looked out this week and you've gone, yeah, I've struggled, I've failed, I've not done so well. But the beautiful thing is that there's always grace. God's mercies are new each and every single day. Becoming more like Christ is not something that can actually be accomplished on human effort. The sharing of the love of Jesus with others is not something that we can even do on our own power. It's not our words, it's not our personalities, it's not programs that truly change people. It is the Holy Spirit that works in people's hearts where he draws them into Christ. But God can use us for those opportunities. God chooses to use us, but the power comes from him. The Holy Spirit empowers believers to love, serve, obey, and witness faithfully. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his disciples that you will be my witnesses in all of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But Jesus didn't say at the end of it, okay, I've taught you everything you know, go figure it out yourself, right? Jesus says, no, I have to leave so the helper will come and empower you to do the things that I've called you to do. And this is Paul's desires, that every believer would be filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. This begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. It begins by putting our faith and trust in him. It also involves seeking God, praying and asking him to fill us with the Spirit. After Jesus ascended, the disciples gathered together and they prayed and they waited on God, and then the Holy Spirit moved on them. Right? It's not just magically happened. We have to be seeking it. And that's why I would encourage you guys, next week, come to the church, come to that Holy Spirit on the Sunday night. It'll be worth it. It's a time of just reflecting and asking God to come upon us. Right? The gift and the power of the Holy Spirit is not just for pastors, leaders, or missionaries. It's for all believers. God's desire is to empower all people. Jesus says, as in the Gospel of Matthew, verse 7, that God is a good father who gives good gifts to his children. So when you ask, you will receive it. If we want to be strengthened in our being, then we must spend time with God. If we want to be, time with God is not optional for believers. It is essential. God is where we find strength when we are weak. God is the one who restores and sustains us. If we neglect time with God, we should not be surprised when we feel spiritually weak. The more we spend time with God's presence, prayer, and word, the more the Holy Spirit strengthens and transforms our inner being. You know, I think about it this way. in the how it's essential to spend time with God is like we all have phones, right? What happens is we use it throughout the day, it depletes, right? And then it comes to a point where if we don't charge it, then it's just, it's useless, it's not good anymore, right? And then we want for us as believers to be connected to the source. We can't do any, we can do all things, like we can try things, but it doesn't work unless we have God with us, unless we have that Holy Spirit. So ask for it. Always spend time with God. Prioritize it in your life. So in what areas in your life are you relying more on your own strength than the power of the Holy Spirit? What would it look like for you to surrender those areas to God and begin depending on Him daily? Second point is we are to be established in love. I think one of the clearest marks of a Christian is how we love others. Love is the very center of the Christian faith. The greatest definition of love is the cross. Jesus willingly went to the cross in our place. He took upon himself the punishment and the wrath that we deserve because of our sin. It was love that drove Jesus to the cross. Jesus says that people will know you are my disciples by how you love one another. The way we care for others reveals whether Christ is truly at work within us. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says that someone can have all these gifts, talents, knowledge, but if they don't have love, then they're just, it's useless, it's meaningless. Our skills and talents and accomplishments are empty if we refuse to love the people around us. Jesus says that the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Love is not just a part of the Christian life. It's actually the foundation of it. You know, I remember when I became a Christian, or when my friend invited me to youth group, the reason why I actually kept going back to youth group was because this community loved one another. I was just like, this is different. I've never experienced, there's just no drama. It was just like, everyone seemed like genuine friends. And I just began to go to it more and more. And as I was being taught about God, I finally came to an understanding of what the love of God is. I began to experience like what Christ has done for me on the cross. The love of Jesus became so real. And this love is available to everyone. We begin to grasp how long, how wide, how deep is the love of Christ. It overwhelms us. You know, there's been moments during worship or moments where I've just been spending time with God and I'm so overwhelmed by His love for me. And this love isn't just for me, it's for everyone. And the amazing thing is that there's nothing that can ever separate you from the love of God. Your past doesn't separate you from the love of God. Your failures cannot separate you from the love of God. Your shame cannot separate you from the love of God. God loves you deeply and personally. The love of God transforms people. It changes hearts. It brings freedom. It brings joy. It brings healing and wholeness. Many of the things we try to fill our lives with, but they end up leaving us feeling more empty. True fulfillment comes from the love of God. But God will never force Himself upon you. We must choose to open the door and let Him in. Jesus is always knocking at the door, but we have to let Him in. He's not going to force Himself. You have to make that choice. And it was love that drove Jesus to the cross. And it is that same love that should establish and shape our lives today. So how clearly does your life reflect the love of Christ to the people around you? What is one practical way you can intentionally show the love this week to maybe your family, your friends, your coworkers, or even your community? The last point is that we are to exist for God's glory. God's plan for us is far greater than what we can think of or imagine. His plan is immeasurably more than our own. What God does is always bigger, deeper, and better than what we could actually design for ourselves. The challenge is that God gives us the freedom to choose whether we want to follow it or not. You know, when we come to Christ, when we come to Christ, we no longer live for ourselves. Our lives are now directed towards the glory of God. This means everything we do is worship to him. When we work for the glory of God. When we study for the glory of God. When we parent for the glory of God. Our entire lives become a living sacrifice that is pleasing to God. But we need to be careful not to resist or reject God's plan for our lives. God's plan may actually take us out of our comfort zone. You know, but following Jesus requires obedience and a willingness to go wherever he leads. You know, Jesus makes it clear that following him will actually cost us something. It might cost us our time. It might cost us our comfort. It might cost us resources. It will cost something. Jesus says that to be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me. But God's plan is still immeasurably more than anything that we could plan or dream up ourselves. And we must guard our hearts against being like Jonah, who refused to do what God was calling him to do. But instead, we should be like Isaiah and say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." This is the posture that God desires for our lives. A willing heart, an obedient spirit, a surrender life that says, "God, use me however you want to use me." See, when God called me to be a pastor, I said no. I said, no, not a chance. I'm too quiet. People freak me out sometimes. Like, why would you call me, God? And I remember I went to summer camp, and I was helping out there in ministry. And I remember my boys went up to the front. And I said, "Lord, if I get to be a part of that, use me." Right? God's plan for our lives is so much better than what we can dream of or imagine. I've not regretted being a pastor. It's the best thing that I love. I love coming alongside people and showing out, here's the gifts that God has for you. Try it. I love seeing when kids make decisions that just follow the Lord. But, you know, God has his plan for us is so much more than we can imagine or speak of. So say yes to his plan. Don't hide. Don't run. Don't be like Jonah. But say, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." So what areas of your life are you most tempted to hold back from fully trusting God's plan for you? What would it look like for you to respond with a more surrendered posture, even when God's direction challenges you or leads you out of your comfort zone? So as we come to the end of this passage, and I invite the worship team to come up, Paul is not simply giving us information or about a prayer. He is showing us a vision and what life can look like when the gospel takes root in our lives and in a church. This is not a prayer for people who are trying harder on their own strength. It's a prayer for people who are being transformed from the inside out by God himself. Paul shows us that Christian life is not meant to be lived out on our own. We are meant to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are meant to be established in the love of Christ. We are meant to live for the glory of God. And when these three things are present, something powerful happens. Weak people become strengthened by God's power. Broken people are rooted and unshakable in an unshakable love. Ordinary lives become vessels for God's glory. Paul ends his prayer reminding that God is able to do immeasurably more than what we can think of or dream of. This means no situation is too far gone. No heart is too hard. No life is too broken. The same God who united Jews and Gentiles is the same God who strengthens believers by the Holy Spirit. The same God who anchors us in his love. And the same God who is worthy of glory forever and ever. The same God who is still at work today. So the invitation is simple. Will you trust him? Will you depend on his Spirit? Will you be rooted in his love? Will you live for his glory? Because when we do, we discover that God is not just asking something from us. He's giving something to us. A life that is fuller. A love that is deeper. And a purpose that is greater than anything that we can build or imagine ourselves. Dear Lord, thank you for who you are. Lord, help us to be so rooted in your love that we go and share this love to others, Lord. God, we live in a broken and hurting world that is looking for purpose, identity, and it's only found in you. And I pray today, Lord, that we would have the attitude of living for your glory, of here I am, Lord, send me. God, we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at LadnerLife.com. That's www.LadnerLife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.